إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant, worshipper, and messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 17th session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajrat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith, by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. And our topic tonight is continuation of those things which through which Iman is achieved, and through which it is increased and strengthened. The specific things which strengthen and increase Iman. And tonight we're going to be talking about knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani studying, learning, being acquainted with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the matters related to him that can be a source of Iman or increase of Iman. Before we do that, we're going to look quickly at some of the topics that we discussed last week. Six questions and the question and study guide for lecture number 16. First question being, memorize the saying of Allah concerning the absence of any contradiction in the Quran, from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 82nd Ayat. Anyone? Now, barakallahu feek, wa jazakumullah khair. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, in the form of a question, but in fact it is a command, an encouragement, that Allah is encouraging, yani the reflection and contemplation on the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Yani, do they not reflect, contemplate, examine the Quran and what it contains, and he think about what it contains, and if it had been from other than Allah, they would have found in it, yani ikhtilaf and kathira, so many, yani differences, discrepancies, contradictions, if it had been from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important yani ayat, because it's from those ayats that form a basis for important yani matters of aqidah. And we believe that the Qur'an is perfect, that it's the speech of Allah, that it has no defect or shortcoming. Yani it's from the sifat of Allah, the speech of Allah. And believing this, yani requires proof and evidence, not just a claim that we say and we don't know why we're saying it. So some of these, sometimes the question is memorization, because these are things that we need to try to memorize. Second question, discuss the core meanings of this ayat from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 82nd ayat. The core meanings of this ayat, which serve as a means of strengthening and increasing one's iman. So from the things that the Shaykh mentioned in the book itself, and from what he mentioned in his tafsir that we alluded to last week, and from the important things that he mentioned, is that in this ayat is an indication that reflecting upon the Quran in general, but more specifically reflecting more specifically on the arrangement of the Quran. Yani how the ayat are arranged, the words of an ayat, how they arrange. The perfection of the Quran, its accuracy and precision. Reflecting on this, yani would make a person come to know that there's no discrepancy in it. There's no contradiction in it. There's no mistake or error in it. And therefore, the conclusion that a person will reach is that this is the speech of Allah. If it had been from other than Allah, they would have found in it many discrepancies. But since there is no discrepancy in it, no contradiction in it, this is the proof that it's the Kalamullah. So this is very important, that a person, if a person reached the conclusion, ilm, yaqeen, certainty, by reflecting on the Qur'an, generally and specifically on these aspects of the Qur'an, a person reaches the level of ilm and the level of yaqeen, that this is the Kalamullah. This is a means of increase of iman. That a person knows that what they are reading is the speech of Allah Rabbil Alameen. Secondly, he said that also in this, yani a person will reach the conclusion, yani from contemplating on the Qur'an, they will reach the conclusion, ya'lam kamal al-Qur'an. They will know that the Qur'an is complete and perfect. So these are two things that are related to one another. Number one, by reflecting on the Qur'an and examining it carefully, a person will reach the conclusion with certainty that the Qur'an is complete and perfect. And likewise, from this they will also come to the conclusion that it is the speech of Allah, and both of these are yani sources of iman. And we'll see a little bit further about that today, inshallah. Question number three. Mention Allah's description of the rasikhuna in knowledge. Yani from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 7th Ayah. And what they say, what the rasikhuna fil ilm, what they say, yani what is their view about the Qur'an. Now, they are firmly grounded in knowledge, that they have no lingering doubts. Yani ignorance, doubt, yani confusion has been yani removed from them because of the level of their knowledge. Anybody else want to add to that?
They have certainty that the Quran is from Allah.
They have certainty that the Quran is from Allah.
And they affirm all of it as His speech.
And they affirm all of it as the speech of Allah. What did they say specifically? What does Allah have them saying in the Quran? يَقُولُونَ what? آمَنَّا بِي كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا آمَنَّا بِي. We believed in it. Yani with certainty. Belief that doesn't allow for any doubt. And they also affirm that all of it, every bit of it, yani the yani muhkam ayat and the mutashabi ayat, that all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accept it all, they believe in all of it. And this is very important as well, because yani no doubt the person reads the Qur'an and sometimes doesn't understand an ayah or a word or a passage. And sometimes the person can become confused from this. But it is our position that the whole of the Qur'an is from Allah, and therefore it is all yani sidq. It is all haq. It is all truth, and it is all yani the reality, the true reality. All of it is from Allah. Whatever, all of it is from Allah, and all of it is what He has spoken with, and all of it is what He has judged by, and all of it is yani the true reality. It is all truth. The fourth question mentions some of the virtues of ilm and virtues of the ulama, the people of knowledge, derived from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 18th Ayah, where it mentions yani the meaning of which is Allah bears witness that la ilaha illallah. Yani the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is nothing to deserve to be worshipped except Him. From this ayat, we mentioned last week a number of points that may be derived from this ayah, which show, yani which point to the fadl, the excellence, the superiority, the virtue of knowledge and virtue of the people of knowledge. So we mentioned 10. If we can bring maybe 3 or 4 of them, mashallah. Now,
that by Allah saying that they're going to be witnesses, that their station is raised with the angels, because Allah also is going to bring the angels as a witness as well. So their station.
Okay, so
not like the angels, but they're yani, raised with the angels.
Allah, their station, yani their excellence, is seen in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins their testimony first and foremost to His testimony. And additionally, He joins their testimony to the testimony of His angels. And this shows yani the station of these people. Now,
and the one Allah has given them integrity. He has given them
Allah has testified to, He has declared their integrity, yani tazkiyah and ta'adil. In that, yani He has used them to bear witness to this great reality. This is an indication that Allah acknowledges, that Allah is declaring their integrity. Naam, their uprightness. Now, what else?
And also He uses them as witness to His signs upon creation, upon this revelation.
Okay, he used them as a proof, as a hujjah against the creation. Their testimony is a proof against the creation, so that they are in the manzila, in the position of being like Allah's adilla, Allah's ayat, Allah's barahim. Yani they are proof and an evidence and a sign against the creation, in that they bear witness to this truth. So they are just like, yani, a proof that Allah has revealed to us, yani, in the Quran. So they are also a proof, yani, against the people who reject and deny. Now,
Allah has used the people of knowledge to fulfill His rights. La ilaha illallah.
Now, Allah has used the people of knowledge to fulfill the right that Allah has, yani, to testify to the fact that He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped, and they became a proof against the people, and they became a hujjah against the people, yani, so that no one can deny this reality, this right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And the fact that He has them to bear witness to the greatest and most important of all truths, yani, the shahada, the kalimat to tawheed. And this is the most important thing that anyone can bear witness to. And He calls them to bear witness to this. Naam. Somebody else have another point? Naam.
People that bear witness to this, based on the knowledge received from these people, they will receive a portion of
it. And the reward of the people of knowledge, yani, for every person who bears witness, who agrees, who acknowledges this truth due to their testimony, then they would receive an equal reward as those people would receive for, yani, this acknowledgement and this testimony. And just a couple of other points, yani, quickly, yani, that the Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used one verb, yani, shahid Allahu. And He didn't use another verb to say shahida al-malaika, or shahidat al-malaika, or shahida ul-ilm. But He used one verb showing the intensity of the bind between their testimony, the scholars, and His testimony. And the testimony of the angels, that it is a strong tie between them. This is very, very important, yani, to that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coupling, yani, their testimony to His. And the last point that we'll mention is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them as Ahlul Ilm. And this means that, yani, ikhtisasuhum, yani, that they, that this knowledge is particular to them. It's particular to them, to the exclusion of others. Now, so these are some of the points that we mentioned last week, which show, yani, the excellence, the superiority, the virtue of knowledge. And should be an encouragement for every Muslim to seek knowledge because of its excellence and the high station of the people of knowledge. Yani, that is achieved through that knowledge. Of course, yani, it is understood from what we have mentioned on numerous occasions in the past that the acquisition of knowledge in and of itself is not the objective. But it's a means to the objective, which is to act upon it, to worship Allah based on knowledge. The fifth question, why has Allah rebuked and criticized the kuffar for not reflecting upon or pondering over the Qur'an? Now,
because reflecting upon the Qur'an, even as increased and unless you know who your Lord is, it will increase your knowledge. Your actions will be increased in their bashirah.
Okay, so by reflecting on the Qur'an, a person is increased in knowledge, increased in iman, and
they wouldn't have rejected it because they would have seen that it's from Allah and knows the truth.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ. Did they not contemplate, reflect upon the speech, yani the Qur'an? Had they reflected upon it, they wouldn't have rejected it. They wouldn't have been in that position of denying it. If they had reflected upon it, in the way that it needs to be reflected upon. If they had carefully examined it, then, yani, they wouldn't have been in this position that they are in. Yani, if they had examined the Qur'an carefully and had knowledge of the Qur'an, then they wouldn't have been from those who denied it, yani, denying it based upon ignorance. The last question, rather, this would have compelled them, yani, would have necessitated them, if they had reflected upon the Qur'an and had knowledge of the Qur'an, it would have compelled them to have iman and to follow the one who brought it, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last question, mention three of the main things which iman is derived from, caused by, or strengthened through. Three of the main things that we mentioned up until now, we mentioned three points. And is that iman is derived from, now.
Reflecting upon the Quran.
Reflecting upon the Quran, now. Contemplation on the Quran. Another.
Knowledge of the names and attributes of
knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah, the Asma' Allah wa Sifatihi, having knowledge of those names that are derived from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and understanding the meanings of those names and worshipping Allah through them. And the third one is the one we had last week.
Doing actions, isn't it?
Okay, yani that's part of yani knowledge. But we mentioned, the Shaykh, he mentioned three things up until now. From the things, the specific detailed things that are causes of Iman or increase of Iman. The first thing he mentioned, having knowledge of, reflecting upon, yani knowing the Asma of Allah and the Sifat of Allah, knowing the meanings and worshipping Allah by them. The second one that he mentioned was reflecting upon the Quran. And the third one that he mentioned, number three, yes.
Seeking knowledge.
Yani having knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the last point that yani we took in the previous session, having knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all that it calls to, and all that it calls to of ulum al iman and amal al iman. Yani the knowledge of iman and the actions of iman. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to take the fourth point. Yani the fourth point from those things from which iman is derived, and which are causes of increase of iman and strengthening of iman. And I need to watch the time. We're going to be reading in English from page 49, the top of the page. And hopefully we're going to complete this point, which is a little bit lengthy, on page 52. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from yani page 50. We're going to be reading from page 50, near the top of the page, up until 53. In English, it should be from the top of page 49.
Okay.
Hopefully it's numbered 4 or something like that.
No,
2.4. Okay. Page 49 or 50?
It's
50. It's on page
50?
Yeah, 2.4.
Okay, what does it begin with?
Knowledge of the Prophet.
Knowledge of the Prophet.
Sublime morals and manners.
Okay. So there are actually some omissions in the English translation throughout this book. In this particular matter, there's several omissions. So, and you just try to follow it a little bit. So you see, yani, there's some of the places where he doesn't mention what the author, rahimahullah, mentions. Number four, he says, he begins by saying, "Min turuk mujibat al iman wa asbabihi." That's not in the English translation. Yani, from the turuk, the ways that necessitate iman, wa asbabihi, and which are the causes of the means of achieving iman and strengthening iman. From amongst them is ma'rifatu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'rifatu ma huwa alayhi min al-akhlaq al-aliyah wal awsaf al-kamilah. Yani from the ways, the roads, the paths that necessitate, that guarantee iman, and from the causes or means of iman is knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and knowing what he is upon. Yani about knowing what? His akhlaq al-aliyah, his lofty, sublime character, morals, wa awsaf al-kamila, and his descriptions, his perfect and complete descriptions. Yani, knowing this, being familiar with it, studying it, learning, studying the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and studying the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing his life history and knowing his characteristics and qualities, his outward appearance, his behavior, his manners, the way he did things, the way he ate, the way he drank, the way he slept, the way he sat, the way he laughed, and everything about him. Yani knowing this, yani is from the things that necessitate or guarantee iman, and it's from the causes of iman. Then the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَهُ حَقَّ الْمَعْرِفَةِ لَمْ يَرْتَبْ فِي صِدْقِهِ وَصِدْقِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالدِّينَ الْحَقِّ. And also here, yani there's some distortion of the actual meaning in the English translation. Yani this is how I think it should have been worded, and the specific words that he used, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about actually what he mentions here. It's not accurate. But in any case, the Shaykh says that indeed, whoever knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, haqqa ma'arifati, yani knows him really, yani in the full, yani with full knowledge of him, lam yartab fi sidqi, that person would never doubt the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that person would never doubt the truthfulness of what he brought, what he came with from the Quran and the Sunnah and the Deen al-Haq. Yani two things here he said. They would never doubt his truthfulness, nor would they doubt the truthfulness of what he brought from the Quran, from the Kitab and the Sunnah, and yani whatever is yani encompassed in a Deen al-Haq, the true Deen. And this is, yani, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, if a person knew the Prophet the way we should know him, they would never doubt his truthfulness. And they wouldn't doubt what he brought. And he says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ, in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23, Surah 69. Yani, is it that they didn't know their messenger the way they should have known him? Is it that they didn't know him? And therefore, فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ, therefore, because they didn't know him, that's why they are denying and rejecting him? Is that the cause? Because if they had known him, if they knew him, they wouldn't have rejected him. They would not have doubted his truthfulness and what he was telling them. They would not have doubted what he brought to them, that it is the truth. Is it that they didn't know the messenger and therefore that's why they are rejecting him? A, yani the Shaykh is saying, the meaning of this ayat is ma'rifatuhu tujibu lil'abdi al-mubadara ila al-iman min man lam yu'min. وَزِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ مِنْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ. And this is because knowing the Prophet the way he should be known necessitates for the human being to hasten to belief, to iman, for those who didn't already believe. It necessitates that they hasten to enter into iman. And it necessitates an increase in iman for those who already believed in him. Here, I just want to stop for a minute and read, yani, some comments from the Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Musa al-Abad, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He says, concerning this introduction to the topic, he says, look at هذه اللطيفة في استدلال من الشيخ رحمه الله. Look at this fine point, that how the author has used, his use of evidence from this particular ayah, and he couples it with the ayah, yani the previous ayah from the topic from last week. How he brought this ayah after that ayah. Yani the ayah from last week that the Shaykh mentioned, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبْرُ الْقَوْلِ, did they not reflect upon the speech, yani the Qur'an? And then in this chapter, this next sub-chapter, he brings, is it that they didn't know their messenger? These are two points that are coupled to each other. The Shaykh says, look at his istidlal, how he uses this, yani, as evidence for the point that he wants to make. He said, the Shaykh began the sequence of the ayat, of these ayat, from this topic that we're going to talk about now. He mentions about six ayat. He said, he begins with the saying of Allah, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Is it that they didn't know, yani, or is it that they didn't know? Yani, or, meaning, is it something before or is it this? What's before us? Did they not reflect on the Qur'an? And or, is it that they didn't know the messenger? These are two matters, from last point and from this point. He says, this is from Surah Al-Mu'mineen 23:69. The ayah from last week was from Surah Al-Mu'mineen 23:68. And the Shaykh now is pointing to the fact that these series of ayahs, this Surah Al-Mu'mineen 67, 68 from last week and 69 from now, that they're all connected to one another. He says, is it that they didn't know their messenger? Or is it that they didn't know their messenger, therefore they deny him? This ayat is connected to the ayat that is before it. Yani, did they not reflect upon the speech, that is the Quran? Or, is it that they didn't know their messenger? Is it this or is it that? Or both of them? And it has come in this series of ayats. These two points came in a series of ayats that's a refutation of those who remained upon kufr and those who turned away from the deen of Allah. And they were, yani, distracted by the gatherings of sport and play and amusement. Yani, they were distracted from traveling the ways of guidance. So it was mentioned in this yani series that the greatest of the doors, abwab al-hidayah, there are two matters. The greatest of the doors of hidayah are two matters. The first of them, afalam yadabru al-qawl, did they not reflect upon the Quran, the speech, the Quran? That's the first of them, reflecting upon the Quran. Wa thani, معرفة الرسول. And the second of them is knowing the messenger. أم لم يعرفوا رسولهم فهم له منكر. These are the two greatest doorways to hidayah. Reflecting on the Quran and knowing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني, did they not reflect upon the Quran that was revealed upon this messenger? Did they not know the messenger, the one who was revealed to? يعني, did they not know his seerah? Did they not know his akhlaq, his beautiful character? His noble manners? If they had known that, then they would not have turned back on the heels. What is understood from this is that reflecting upon the Quran and knowing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are the greatest two doorways to guidance. The guidance of the one who didn't yet believe, an increase of iman for the one who already believed. And for this reason, these two matters are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after his saying, قَدْ كَانَتْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Yani, my ayat used to be recited to you. فَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ تَنْقِسُونَ. But you used to turn back on your heels. You used to reject it. You didn't accept it, the ayat that was recited to you. مُسْتَقْبِرِينَ, yani proudly and out of arrogance. مُسْتَقْبِرِينَ بِهِ سَامِرًا تَهْجُرُونَ, yani spending the nights and speaking ill about the Qur'an. This came first, and then after that, the Shaykh says, what is the cure for these people who the Qur'an was recited to, and they wouldn't listen to it? They proudly rejected it and spoke evil of it? He said, the ilaj for this problem, the shifa, the healing for this problem, from this sickness, he said it is the ayat that came immediately after that ayat, 60, yani, ayat, I think that was 67, 68 and 69, or 66, he said, the cure for that is these two ayats that follow them, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبْرُ الْقَوْلِ, yani reflecting upon the Qur'an. And then Allah says, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ, or is it that they didn't know their messenger? These are the two cures for the sickness of these people. He said, the meaning of it is that if they had reflected upon the Qur'an, and if they had known the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they would not be in the condition that they are in, of rejecting and disbelief and kufr. So the greatest of the doorways to guidance, he said, it is to reflect upon the Qur'an and to give care to knowing about the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh says, then the author rahimahullah, yani mentions after that, that knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam necessitates for the person to hasten to iman, for the one who didn't believe, and an increase of iman for the one who already believed. He said the likeness of this is what the Shaykh follows with after this ayah, yani, going back to the book, he said the likeness of this is the saying of Allah the Most High, حَاثًا لَهُمْ عَلَى تَدَبُّرْ أَحْوَالِ الرَّسُولِ الدَّاعِيَةِ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Yani, also the introduction of this ayah is not mentioned in the translation. That Allah the Most High says, and as a matter of encouraging or urging them to reflect upon the ahwal of al-Rasul, al-Da'iyah lil-Iman, and to reflect upon the affair, the condition, the circumstances, the hal of the messenger, the one who's calling to Iman. Allah is encouraging the people to look at him, examine him, look at his qualities, his characteristics, his character, his manners. Yani, the way he does things, the way he worships and what he believes. Examine the messenger, the one who's calling people to believe. Examine the caller. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Saba, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى ثُمَّ تَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. And Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ to say to them, إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ, I am only encouraging you, advising you, to do what? To do one thing. يعني بِوَاحِدَةٍ, يعني خَصَّ وَاحِدَةٍ. One thing I want you to do, and that is to stand up in front of Allah, for the sake of Allah, two of you together or individually. يعني, and examine this thing. يعني what? تفكروا, yani think, reflect, ponder, examine the condition of the one who's calling you to Iman, the messenger. Look at him, examine him carefully. And then you will come to realize, مَا بِصَاحِبُكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةِ, that he's not possessed by a jinn. He's not majnoon, as many of them were saying. Rather, he is only a warner for you, yani ahead of a terrible punishment that is coming for those who disbelieve. The next ayat the shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Qalam, yani the first four ayats. The fourth ayat is the shahid here that we want to really examine. وَأَقْسَمَ تَعَالَى بِكَمَالِ هَذَا الرَّسُولِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the perfection of this messenger and the greatness of his character, his akhlaq, and that he is the most complete and perfect of all of the created beings. In the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, swearing by this truth, Noon وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, yani swearing by the qalam, the pen, and that which is written. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, yani by the favor of Allah, yani what Allah blessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, of intellect, of iman, of character, of manners, all the blessings of Allah. Due to that, the Prophet, he said to the Prophet, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, you are not majnoon, as they falsely claim. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ, and you will have a tremendous reward that will not be interrupted, that will not cease. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and indeed you are upon خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, a high standard of character. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir of this ayat, he says, قَالَ ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, ibn Abbas said, وَإِنَّكَ عَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ, yani the meaning of إِنَّكَ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ عَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, the meaning, إِنَّكَ عَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ وَهُوَ الْإِسْلَامِ. And Ibn Abbas said the meaning of this ayat, that you are upon a high standard of character, means you are upon a tremendous deen, that is Islam. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ is the manifestation of the deen. This is the meaning of his, yani khuluq azim, yani that it is him practicing the deen, fulfilling what Allah has commanded, avoiding what Allah has prohibited, and doing whatever the Quran came with. Here I just want to mention briefly, Allahu musta'an. Oh, okay. I'm thinking the hour is up. We started at 7:30. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I want to mention here, yani concerning the last two ayats, a point that's mentioned in Surah Saba, yani ma bi sahibukum bi jinn, min jinnatin. Yani that your companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's from their society, they know him, he's their companion. He doesn't have any jinn, he's not a majnoon. And in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the shaykh quotes here, yani, obviously intentionally, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, yani indeed, by the favor of Allah, you are not majnoon. It's mentioned in the Sahih of Muslim, in the hadith of Dhimad al-Azdi, that he came to Mecca, and he was the leader of his people. He came to Mecca, وَكَانَ مِنْ أَزْدِ, yani he was from the people of Azdi, وَكَانَ يَرَقِي مِنْ هَذِهِ الرِّيحِ, and he used to do ruqya, yani for people who were possessed, who were majnoon. He used to do ruqya to heal people. فَسَمِيَ سُفَهَا مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ, he heard the ignorant and foolish people of Mecca saying, إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا مَجْنُونَ, that indeed Muhammad is majnoon. So he said, لَوْ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَشْفِيهِ عَلَى يَدَيَّ, that if I met this man, perhaps Allah would heal him on my hands, because I heal people. Yani by the permission of Allah, I'm able to do ruqya and heal people who are yani possessed by jinn. قَالَ فَلَقِيَهُ, so he yani met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, Ya Muhammad, إِنِّي أَرَقِي مِنْ هَذِي الرِّيحِ, yani rih meaning junoon. He said, I'm one who does ruqya to heal people from yani being possessed by jinn or being crazy. And indeed Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَشْفِي عَلَى يَدِي مَنْ شَاءَ, and Allah heals at my hand, yani by my yani ruqya, whomever he wills. Allah may heal whomever he wills. فَهَلْ لَكَ, yani, is this something for you? Would you be inclined, desirous of me yani healing you? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, then the Prophet ﷺ recited to him the khutbat al-hajj, إِنَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ نحمده ونستعينه من يهده الله فلا مضل. يعني to the end of خطبة الحاجة, and we're all familiar with, we hear in Jumu'ah probably every week, right? يعني the Prophet recited these words to him, that indeed the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His assistance. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abduhu wa rasuluhu is His worshipper and His messenger. Amma ba'd. The man, when he heard this, he said, أعد علي كلماتك هؤلاء. Repeat those words of yours again. Yani, I want to hear that again. So the Prophet repeated it to him 3 times. Then the man, يعني دماد الأزدي, he said, لقد سمعت قول الكهنة وقول السحرة وقول الشعراء. I have heard the speech of sorcerers, fortune tellers. I have heard the speech of magicians. I have heard the speech of poets. فما سمعت مثل كلماتك هؤلاء. But I haven't heard any words like these words of yours. يعني the man, when he heard the Prophet's speech, that was sufficient for him to realize that this man is not Majnoon, he's not a magician, he's not a fortune teller, he's not a poet, none of that stuff that they're saying about him. He said, your words have reached, yani, the depths of the ocean. He said, هاتي يدك أبايعك على الإسلام. Give me your hand so that I may pledge allegiance to you upon Islam. The Prophet said, and what about your people? And he said, yes, and my people as well. This hadith is a clear indication of what happened in many occasions, that people met the Prophet in person, heard his words, saw his behavior, and from that alone, without even knowing the entirety of his message, they believed in him. They believed in him. They accepted the message and they accepted Islam. After this, the author, rahimahullah, says, فَهُوَ يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the greatest caller to Iman. فِي أَوْصَافِهِ الْحَمِيدَةِ وَشَمَائِلِهِ الْجَمِيلَةِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ الصَّادِقَةِ النَّافِيَةِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ الرَّشِيدَةِ فَهُوَ الْإِمَامُ الْأَعْظَمُ وَالْقُدْوَةُ الْأَكْمَلُ. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ahzab, I'm sorry, yani the author, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the greatest caller to Iman, yani due to his descriptions, his praiseworthy descriptions, and his beautiful qualities and characteristics, and his beneficial truthful speech, and his rightly guided actions. Yani the behavior of the Prophet, his speech, his behavior, his actions, his characteristics and qualities, all of this are from the means of calling people to Iman. Therefore, he is al-Imam al-A'zam, the greatest Imam. Wal-Qudwa al-Akmal, and he is the most perfect model or example to be followed. And then he mentions concerning this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 21st Ayat, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, 7th Ayat, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, there is for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent uswa, yani example to be followed, a model, a pattern of behavior that people can follow in the Messenger of Allah. And he says, whatever he gives you, accept it. And whatever he prohibits you from, then leave it. Here, Shaykh Abdul Razak, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says that this statement from the author, rahimahullah, فَهُوَ يعني رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الإمام الأعظم والقدوة الأكمل. He said This is a title, a noble, blessed title, Al-Imam Al-A'zam. It is not befitting that it be applied to anyone, no matter what level of knowledge they have reached, no matter what is their station of knowledge. It should not be said to anyone, Al-Imam Al-A'zam, except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is Al-Imam, the greatest Imam of this Ummah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is a mistake to use this title to apply it to anyone from the people of knowledge, no matter how great their knowledge. No matter how great their knowledge or the level of their knowledge. It is not said about anyone, Al-Imam Al-Azam, except the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Indeed, he is the greatest Imam. He alone is the perfect model and example. And Allah mentions this in the ayats, yani that we just mentioned, Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Al-Hashr. After this, well, actually, I just want to mention one other point here. Naam, which is really very, very important concerning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani being the example and the model, and that his yani manners and character yani are the greatest call, greatest means of calling to iman. I want to mention here yani along with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that indeed he is upon a high standard of character, yani ala khuluq al-azim. And it's narrated in various narrations in the Sahih of Muslim and in the Sunan of Nasa'i, the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and other books of hadith, yani narrations of various people asking Aisha radiallahu anha about the character of the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innaka la'ala khuluq al-azim. And when the people asked Aisha, and she was from the closest of the people in this world to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they asked her, as is narrated from Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu, he asked Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha an khuluq al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, faqalat kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, yarda li ridahu wa yaskhatu li sakhatihi. Yani his character was the Qur'an. He was pleased with whatever the Qur'an invites us to be pleased with. And he was displeased with whatever the Qur'an invites us to be displeased with. In another narration, yani another companion or person, Yazid ibn Barbanus, it's narrated in the Sunnah of Nasa'i, that he asked Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, and she read to him, yani from Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, yani successful are the believers. Until the end of those ayat, which end with وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And those who are, yani who guard and protect and preserve their prayers. And what came in between those ayats that we've mentioned in the past, she read that and then she said, هَكَذَا كَانَ خُلُقُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. This is how yani the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another narration in Sahih Muslim, yani in the narration of Sa'd ibn Hisham, he said, I said, O mother of the believers, inform me about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Alasta taqra al-Qur'an? Do you not read the Qur'an? And he said, yes, I do. And she said, فَإِنَّ خُلُقَ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان القرآن. That indeed the character of the Prophet of Allah was the Qur'an. Yani, what is important here is that from the people who knew the Prophet most and best, yani was Aisha radiallahu anha, and she described in the most fitting of words, in the most concise manner possible, the character of the Prophet, كان خلقه القرآن. And three little words, three simple words, his character was the Qur'an, meaning he exemplified the Qur'an in its commands and prohibitions, and what it encouraged and what it discouraged, yani completely and totally. And here, I want to make one other comment before we go to what remains from the book. Very important comment, because recently I heard this saying, And it reminded me, you know, of this particular point. Yani, I don't know about today, but I heard it recently, and I hadn't heard it in years, but we used to say a long time ago about the character of the Prophet, people used to say he was a walking Qur'an. And this is improper. First of all, it's not the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, and second of all, its meaning yani is should be avoided. Yani, the meaning of it. A question came to one of the scholars, Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. We hear some of the people who give the khutbah saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana Qur'anan yamshi ala al-ard. Yani in America we used to say he was a walking Qur'an. The Arabs are saying kana Qur'anan yamshi ala al-ard. He was a Qur'an walking on the earth. So what is the yani? What is the ruling concerning yani this particular statement? The Shaykh, he said, it is more proper and befitting that one should say kana khuluqul Qur'an. Yani this character was the Qur'an, as Aisha radiallahu anha informed us. Yani the Qur'an, the kalamullah, laysa bi makhluq. The Qur'an is not something created. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basharun makhluq, is a human being that's created. To say that he was a Qur'an walking on the earth. And the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. And nothing of Allah, of his sifat, his characteristics or his actions is created. So to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being a Qur'an walking on the earth, something created, is unacceptable. It is not proper to say this, the Shaykh said, for we are actually at war against the Mu'tazila because of their saying Al-Qur'an makhluk. Because they are saying that the Qur'an is created. And rather, we say, as Imam Ahmad said in Usul al-Sunnah, Al-Qur'an kalamullah laysa bi makhluk. Yani the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it is not created. The meaning, of course, of the statement of Aisha, and perhaps what is intended by the saying that he was a Qur'an walking on the earth, or he is a walking Qur'an, what is intended, is that he applied the Qur'an, he implemented the Qur'an. His character was derived from the Qur'an. Yani his character was the Qur'an. He used to act upon it, and he used to believe in what is contained in it. And therefore, yani what we should say is what Aisha radiallahu anha said, kana khuluquhu Qur'an, and avoid yani making statements that at best needs to be interpreted, and to affirm what actually one intends by such a saying. Going back to the text of the book, the Shaykh says on page 50, near the top of the page, and in the second paragraph, I'm not sure in English where we are, but وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ نَعَمْ 51. Page 51. وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ خَوَاسِ الْخَلْقِ أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning the people who have understanding. Yani those who are the elite of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they said, as mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah 190, 3rd ayat, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا. That, O our Rabb, indeed we have heard a caller. The Shaykh says, وَهُوَ هَذَا الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ. That caller is this noble messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard a caller, munadiyan, yunadi lil iman, calling to iman. The Shaykh says, calling to iman, bi qawlihi, by his speech, wa khuluqihi, and his character, wa amalihi, and his deeds, his action, wa deenihi, and his, yani, expression of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa jami' ahwalihi, and the whole of his, yani, being, his situation, all of his situation, circumstances, all of his affairs. Yani, whatever you look at from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of it is part of his call, calling people to iman. And this is also important for us, yani, to apply to ourselves, that our speech, that our action, that our character, that everything about us should reflect Islam, so that it is a means of calling people to iman. They said, فَآمَنَّا. We heard the call of calling to iman, by his speech and his action and his deed, and everything about him, فَآمَنَّا. So we definitely believed. That is, imanan la yadkhuluhu rayb. Yani an iman that no doubt enters it. Yani it's not open for any doubt or question. Yani it is firm. And then the Shaykh says, so when, since it is that this iman, لما كان هذا الإيمان من أعظم ما يقرب العبد إلى الله, since iman is the greatest of things, from the greatest of things that bring a person near to Allah, and is from the greatest of wasail, the means which Allah loves, then they, after declaring their iman, they sought as a means, a wasila, a means of nearness to Allah, by declaring their iman. Through that, they asked Allah to forgive them their sins. And to, and He grant them lofty objectives. So they said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. We heard a call calling to iman, to believe in your Rabb. So we believed. Now they said, since we believed, رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Therefore, O our Rabb, since we believed, forgive us our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. And, yani, expiate for us our wrongdoings. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And raise us up with those who are the righteous. And here, the point that I want to make here, just briefly, the Shaykh discussed it in some detail, but, yani, for the sake of time, he said that the wasila that they used here was their iman. Yani, a person's iman, their righteous deeds, their obedience to Allah, can be used as a wasila, a means of nearness to Allah, through which a person can ask for whatever they want, and whatever they are in need of good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to the means that people use that are innovated from corruption. The last point that the Shaykh makes here is, ولهذا كان الرسول كان الرجل المنصف الذي ليس له إرادة إلا اتباع الحق مجرد ما يراه ويسمع كلامه يبادر إلى الإيمان ولا يرتاب في رسالته بل كثير منهم مجرد ما يرى وجهه الكريم يعرف أنه ليس بوجه كذاب. يعني any fair and just person who doesn't have any intent or any desire except to follow the truth, yani no hidden motives, simply seeing him, seeing the Prophet, and hearing his speech will cause a person to hasten to iman. Simply seeing him, مُجَرَّدْ مَا يَرَاهُ, if he just saw him, وَيَسْمَى كَلَامُهُ, and he heard his speech, يُبَادِرُ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ, that person will hasten to iman, and he would have no doubt about his risala, the message that he brought. Rather, many of the people, simply seeing his noble face, they knew that this is not the face of a liar. And this has been narrated from Abdul ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu, that when he saw the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is narrated, that he knew that the face of this man is not the face of a liar. Whatever he's saying has to be the truth. He said, it has been said to some of them, why did you hasten to iman, believing in this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before you even know what his message is? You didn't even hear his full message. And they said, he didn't command with anything that the intellect says, I wish he had not. Yani he didn't command the people with anything that the sound intellect would say, I wish he had prohibited it. He didn't command us to do anything that your mind says, I wish he had prohibited it. Nor did he prohibit anything that the sound mind would say, I wish he had commanded it. Yani meaning the sound mind is in agreement with what he commanded and what he prohibited. فَاسْتَدَلَّ هَذَا الْعَقْلَ الْمُوَفَّقِ. So this person, this yani rational person, intelligent person, who Allah has given success to understand, to comprehend, this person used as a delil to accept his message, the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, husni shari'atihi, yani the excellence of his sharia, his laws, what he commanded and what he prohibited, wa muwafaqatiha lil uqul as-sahiha, and it's being in agreement, the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being in agreement with sound minds. The paragraph here in the English is completely twisted. Yani you should just mark it out. Yani what the Shaykh is saying here is crystal clear. That a sound-minded person who Allah has given success to would use as a proof to accept the risala of the Prophet ﷺ two things. حُسْنُ شَرِيَاتِهِ, yani the excellence of his sharia, his laws, وَمُوَافَقَتِهَا, yani and its agreement, the sharia of Muhammad, it's being in agreement, لِلْعُقُولَ الصَّحِيحَةِ, with sound minds. The excellence of his sharia, and it being in agreement with sound mind, they use this as a delil of the correctness and the acceptance of his risala, فَبَادَرَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ, and therefore they would hasten then to iman. And then he mentions finally, for this reason, the king of Rome, Heracl, when he لَمَّا وُصِفَ لَهُ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ وَمَا كَانَ يَأْمُرُ بِهِ وَيَنْهَى عَنْهُ, when it was described to him what the messenger, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ came with, what he brought to the people, the Islam that he brought, when that was described to him, and when it was described to him what he was commanding the people with, and what he was prohibiting them from, استدل بذلك أنه من أعظم الرسول, then he used that as a delil, that indeed he was from the greatest of the messengers. Based on what? Based on what was described to him of what the Prophet ﷺ brought, and what he commanded, and what he prohibited. He used, that was a proof to him that he was from أعظم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was from the greatest of the messengers. وَأَعْتَرَفَ بِذَلَكَ اعْتِرَافًا جَلِيلًا, and he confessed and acknowledged this with a clear, open acknowledgement. And he didn't beat around the bush, say it sounds like he's good, he has some good points. No, he clearly acknowledged that indeed he was a messenger of Allah. وَلَكِنْ, and that story is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, وَلَكِنْ مَنَعَتْهُ الرِّيَاسَةُ وَخَشَّتُ زَوَالِ مُلْكِهِ مِنْ اتِّبَاعِهِ, but what prohibited him from entering into Islam was leadership, الرِّيَاسَة, leadership, and his fear that his kingdom would cease or would end, and he would lose his followers if he accepted Islam. As in the story, as is mentioned, yani of the meeting of Abu Sufyan when he was called to the king, yani Heracl. He said, and in the same way, many of the people, from those who it became clear to them that he is indeed أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا, that he is truly the Messenger of Allah, it became clear to them. And many of these people also were prohibited, yani were prevented from entering Islam because of fear of loss of leadership or whatever of the worldly things. And this is from the greatest things that prohibit a person from entering Iman, yani as it relates to the likes of these people, the people in authority and the people in leadership. And I don't know if we have time to mention a little bit of the story of the Roman emperor. But in any case, let's just finish what the Sheikh says here and we can go back to that. He said, as for those people, أَهْلُ al-basair, the people who have insight, وَالْعُقُولَ الصَّحِيَةَ, and who have sound intellects, then these people, يَرَوْنَ هَذِي الْمَوَانِعِ, they see these things that prevent people from entering Islam, leadership, شُبَهَات, شَهَوَات, يعني doubtful matters and desires and things, they see these things as being insignificant. They don't see it as having any real value, such that it could be used to object to, yani al-haq al-sahih al-sahih al-nafiyah, yani the truth, yani the correct, yani haq, yani the truth, the beneficial truth. They don't see that these things can oppose it or should be used to object to it. That truth, which yani its fruit is as-sa'ada ajilan wa ajilan, yani that a person will have success and happiness now and later, yani in this world and in the next life. And it is for this reason, this yani tremendous reason, كان المعتنون بالقرآن حفظا ومعرفة, those who gave care to the Quran, حفظا ومعرفة, memorizing the Quran and being familiar, knowing the Quran. Yani it's not enough that a person reads the Quran every day and knows about it. We have to memorize the Quran. It's not enough that a person memorizes the Quran from beginning to end and don't know what it means. But rather, those people who give care to the Qur'an are those people who memorize the Qur'an. And those people who know what it contains, understand its meanings, and act upon it. And those people who give care to the authentic hadith. Notice the Shaykh said, al-hadith al-sahiyah. The authentic hadith. Not that which is falsely attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. It is for this great reason that those who give care to the Qur'an and to the authentic hadith, that they are أعظم إيمانا ويقينا من غيرهم. That they are greater in iman and in certainty than others besides them. And this is also a distorted translation in the English translation. وَأَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا فِي الْغَالِبِ, and that they are generally better in their actions, in their deeds, than others than them. Yani, the point here is that he's making two statements. That the people who give care to the Quran and to the Sunnah, they are greater in Iman and Yaqeen than others than them, absolutely. And generally, they're also better in actions. Not that they are generally greater in Iman and Yaqeen in actions. No. They are greater in Iman and Yaqeen than others, absolutely. And generally, they're also better in their behavior. And generally, they're also better in their behavior. Just briefly, from the Emperor of Rome, and I will just take a couple of minutes to read this hadith from Bukhari. It's the seventh hadith in Sahih Bukhari. And Sahih Muslim is 1773, 1773. And the hadith is narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas. It's a long hadith. It's two pages here. I'm not going to read two pages. But like a little bit of it. The hadith is narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Go back and read it. It's tremendous. He said, أخبره أن أبا سفيان ابن حرب أخبره أن هرقل أرسل إليه في رقب من قريش وكانوا تجارا بالشام. يعني that Abu Sufyan ibn Harb had informed him that the emperor of Rome, Hirakal, had sent to him, yani sent for him, as he was a part of a caravan of the Quraysh, who were merchants trading in Sham. And this was during the time that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a treaty with them, with Abu Sufyan and the disbelievers of Quraysh. So they came to him, yani Abu Sufyan and the Quraysh who were with him in this caravan, they came to the Emperor of Rome, yani in Jerusalem. فَدَعَاهُمْ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ, he called them to his place of sitting, his gathering, his court. And around him were all of the important dignitaries of the Romans. Then he called them and he called for a translator. And he said, which one of you is nearest in relations to that man who يَزْعَمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ? Which one of you is nearest to that man who claims that he is a prophet? He doesn't yet know if he's a prophet. He said, claims. فقال أبو سفيان, I am the nearest to him in relations, yani in blood relations. So the emperor said, bring him near to me. And he also, the people who came with him, he said, bring them near as well, but make them sit behind him. Then he said to the translator, say to them, to the people sitting behind Abu Sufyan and his companions, that I'm going to ask this man about the one who claims to be a prophet. And if Abu Sufyan lies in any answer that he gives to my questions, then let me know that he's lying. Abu Sufyan says, wallahi, if it were not that I was afraid that they would declare me to be a liar, I would have lied on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because they were behind me getting ready to call me a liar, I had to tell the truth. He said, then the first thing he asked me about was, yani, what is his blood, yani his lineage amongst your people? Yani, what kind of family does he come from? He said, he comes from a good family. He said, did anybody before him say this? Yani, claim to be a prophet like him? They said, no, nobody before him claimed to. He said, was there anybody from his family who was a king? He said, no, there was nobody from a... He said, who are the people that follow him? The noble people or the poor people? He said, the weak people, the poor people. He said, does his followers increase or decrease? He said, they increase. He said, does any one of them become displeased with that deen after they had entered into it? He said, no. He said, now of course he wanted to lie about these things, but he couldn't lie because the people were behind him getting ready to say he's lying. He said, did you people accuse him of lying before he came and said what he's saying, that he's a prophet? They said, no. Does he violate trust? Yani, he said, no, but right now we have a treaty with him and we don't know what he's going to do. Yani, maybe he's going to violate trust. Abu Sufyan said, that was the only opportunity I got to try to say something against the prophet. Yani, right now we're in a treaty with him, we don't know what he's going to do. Then he said, I didn't have any chance to say anything against him except that one word. He said, Did you people have fight with him? And how did the fighting go? He said, we won sometimes and they won sometimes. He said, what does he command his people with? This is the point in this hadith that relates to what the Shaykh said before, that the people who have sound intellect, all these questions that he asked was for a reason, but The important thing is here, the people of sound intellect, if they know what he's commanded and what he's prohibited, from his sharia, they can indicate yani, the truthfulness or the benefit of his message. He said, what is he commanding the people with? He said, Abu Sufyan said, he commands us to worship Allah alone and to not associate anything with him. And he commanded us to leave what our forefathers used to say, yani the kufr. And he commanded us with salat and truthfulness and avoiding yani sinful immoral behavior and keeping ties with our relations. Then he said to the translator, say to him, yani the king, the ruler, the emperor says to him, say to the translator, say to him, I asked you about his blood relations, his lineage, and you said that he was from the people of yani good family. And this is how the messengers, they are always sent amongst the people from good families. He said, I asked you, did anyone before him say what he is saying? And you said, no. And I say that had someone before him said what claimed to be a prophet, then I would say he's just following what somebody said before him. I asked you, was there any king from amongst his ancestors? And you said, no. And I say that if there had been a king from his ancestors, I would say he's just trying to get back the kingdom of his ancestors. I asked you, did you people accuse him of lying before he came, before what he's saying now, that he claims to be a prophet? And you said, no. And I say, how is it that he doesn't lie against, if he doesn't lie against the people, how would he lie against Allah? And we can't imagine that if he's not known to be a liar amongst the people, how would he lie against Allah? I asked you, were the people following him the noble people or the weak people? And you said it was the weak people, and this is how are the followers of the messengers, always. I asked you, does his followers increase or decrease? You said they increase. And he said, that is the matter of iman, that it always increases until it completes and perfects. I asked you, did any one of his people leave his religion being displeased with it after they entered it? And you said, no. And I said, that is how iman is. When the sweetness of iman enters the heart, a person never leaves it. If the sweetness of iman entered a person's heart, they would not apostate and leave Islam. I asked you, does he violate trust? And you said, no. And this is how the messengers are. They don't violate any of their agreements. They don't break their word. I asked you, what does he command you with? And you said, he commanded you to worship Allah and to not worship anything along with him. And he commanded you not to worship the idols. And he commanded you with salat and yani to prayer and to be truthful and to yani avoid immorality. So if what you are saying is true, and this is what the author, the Shaykh, alluded to, he said that the Emperor of Rome acknowledged the Prophethood of Muhammad in clear words. He said, if what you are saying, the answers that you gave me are true, then he will possess this place where my feet are right now. Meaning he will yani rule this kingdom. And he will overcome us. And I used to know that he would come, that a prophet was coming, but I didn't think he was going to come from you people. Yani meaning from the Arabs. And if I knew that I could get to him, then I would hasten to meet him. And if I were in his presence, I would wash his feet. The Emperor of Rome is saying. Then he called for a letter that had been sent from the Prophet ﷺ by Dihya to the ruler of Busra. And he yani, was sending it to the Hiraql, the Emperor of Rome. And he read that letter and it began by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Muhammad Abdullah wa Rasulihi to Hiraql Azim Rome. Yani from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah and his worshipper, to the Emperor of Rome, Salamun ala man ittaba' al-huda. Peace be upon those who follow the guidance. Amma ba'd. He said, I'm calling you to yani Islam, to the da'wah of Islam. Submit and be safe. And Allah will give you a double reward. And if you turn away, then the sins of your people will be upon you. And then he recited from the Quran some ayat. Until the end of it, yani Abu Sufyan said that when the Emperor of Rome said what he said and read this letter, the people began to raise their voices and they were put out. Yani Abu Sufyan and the people who were with him, they were put out. And he said the matter of Abi Kabsha, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has reached the extent that even the king of the Byzantines has feared him. And I continue to be certain that he would overcome until Allah yani caused me to enter into Islam. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. This is the story yani that shows yani a living proof that the people of intellect, of sound intellect, if they examine yani what the Prophet brought, the message, the Sharia, if they saw him, if they heard him, if they knew yani what he is saying and what he is bringing, then they would have entered into Islam. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or correction or any comment, yani we'll just take a minute, if this, especially something that's unclear from what we mentioned.